Hello. Could we kind of get our seats and get started? This is the PSG meeting for rehab engineers and technologists. It's PSG 4. And if you're not here for this meeting, I'd like you now to step off the aircraft. If you have another destination, please make sure you get to that destination. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have some announcements that we need to make. We have some draft documents to review. We have some offices that we need to talk about getting filled and some items we need action on today. So we're kind of busy, and we're going to kind of blow through some stuff quick. For starters, there's some changes this year. The listservs for the PSGs are now being operated by RESNA, and with that was a requirement that you actually be a RESNA member to be on the PSG. Previously, there were rehab engineers who were not RESNA members floating around on that, and that changed with RESNA taking over the listserv. Patty, do you want to talk about the Sidekicks program, since you are one?
Actually, I missed the Sidekicks program this morning because I was at a PSG meeting. But that's new at RESNA this year. We've got people helping the newcomers to RESNA to kind of find their way around the exhibit hall, around the conference.
Okay. This year we've also decided we've put the RET on Wikipedia, and we're circulating a document as to what that is exactly, what the Wikipedia entry is. We invite you all to visit Wikipedia and add things to it, because that's the beauty of Wikipedia. There's some announcements from the Board of Directors. The Fundamentals book is being updated. And also there's a push to get the website and membership databases reorganized, or the website and membership databases reorganized, and so folks have access to the membership database from the website so they can change their and update their own information. There's some templates that are being developed for the PSGs and SIGs, and so there's going to be some redesign on that site, but that site will continue to be a resource for us to use. Hello. Could we kind of get our seats and get started? This is the PSG meeting for rehab engineers and technologists. It's PSG 4. And if you're not here for this meeting, I'd like you now to step off the aircraft. If you have another destination, please make sure you get to that destination. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have some announcements that we need to make. We have some draft documents to review. We have some offices that we need to talk about getting filled and some items we need action on today. So we're kind of busy, and we're going to kind of blow through some stuff quick. For starters, there's some changes this year. The listservs for the PSGs are now being operated by RESNA, and with that was a requirement that you actually be a RESNA member to be on the PSG. Previously, there were rehab engineers who were not RESNA members floating around on that, and that changed with RESNA taking over the listserv. Patty, do you want to talk about the Sidekicks program, since you are one?
Actually, I missed the Sidekicks program this morning because I was at a PSG meeting. But that's new at RESNA this year. We've got people helping the newcomers to RESNA to kind of find their way around the exhibit hall, around the conference.
Okay. This year we've also decided we've put the RET on Wikipedia, and we're circulating a document as to what that is exactly, what the Wikipedia entry is. We invite you all to visit Wikipedia and add things to it, because that's the beauty of Wikipedia. There's some announcements from the Board of Directors. The Fundamentals book is being updated. And also there's a push to get the website and membership databases reorganized, or the website and membership databases reorganized, and so folks have access to the membership database from the website so they can change their and update their own information. There's some templates that are being developed for the PSGs and SIGs, and so there's going to be some redesign on that site, but that site will continue to be a resource for us to use. Also, the AT journal, there's some process stuff that's being looked at with that, possibly with getting a publishing company to take over that for RESNA. And the board is requesting making an additional request, I think they do this every other year or so, for content, for workshops and platform sessions to come out of the PSGs. Lastly, and this is from, I guess, with the PT, PSG asked us to make this announcement in pretty much every meeting we were in. This is a website, www.complexrehab.org. It's about House Bill H.R. 2231, and this is an exemption for an exemption from the competitive bidding process for folks who have complex rehab needs. So visit this website and lend this bill your support. We have two areas where we need help, and one is the PSB making some requests of us. They need board of directors, or they need people to sit on the board, and they need some working group members. And with Paul, since he's one of the outgoing PSB board members, if he'd like to talk about that for us, we'd appreciate it. Okay.
I've been on the professional standards board for, I don't know, a while, and it all has to do with a certification. So what you do as a PSB member is look at all the issues that have to do with certification. So we get a lot of issues of, hey, does this class count for my CEUs, or can I sit for the ATP or the ATS? We look at policy. What about the test? Do we need to update it? The failure rate of the ATS folks, and how can we get that higher? These are the issues that are involved. Anything with credentialing, it's the Professional Standards Board. Time commitment, it's an all-day meeting once a year, and that's, I'll be 7 o'clock. I'll be in one of these rooms on Tuesday. And other than that, there's the phone meetings throughout the year. So it's a great way to be involved. You really make an impact on it because credentialing, there's over 2,000 credentialed assistive technology people out there, 2,500 ATS plus ATPs. And, of course, we have the RETs as well, which I think we're going to address later on. But one of the criteria is that we need to have an RET on this PSB. So those that are RET, it's a small subset right now, but we want to have we need to have representation there. Anything else? Did I miss anything?
Oh,
I don't know when the deadline for. I'm not running, so.
You're not running, and you don't care.
Yeah,
they did mention that the deadline for nominations is June 25th, which is next Monday. It's a week from tomorrow. And then they just need a letter of intent and your CV to the RESNA office, keeping in mind that somebody needs to be an RET to sit on this board. They did request specifically that we, as the PSG, kind of put forth some names for this. So if you have any enemies you would like to volunteer, please feel free to forward their names now. Anybody got anything they want to say? And then Paul has something else. He's got somebody to volunteer.
Well, just the importance of it is it's a small board, and if you want rehab engineers to have a say in the credentialing matter, you want to be on this board because it has value to our PSG. So it's not something to be taken lightly because there is some time. But yeah. If representation, of course, gives us some power.
What's the rule about not participating in other things, other residents?
Bylaws have. You can't be on the board of directors and the PSB at the same time. But other than that, I mean, I was a SIG 14 chair and on the PSB.
So does that mean you can't be a committee chair either?
I've never seen that language anywhere.
Well, because the committee chairs are on the board. Glenn, you're not a voting member of the board. You can't be a voting member of the board. So you can still be a committee chair and be on the PSB.
Yeah, that the only one is, there's an ex officio member of the board of directors on the professional standards board, but that's the only link I know that you can't be the same.
And then did you want to talk about the panels that you're, or did you want to miss it?
The term is a three-year
term.
But you're allowed to renew if you'd like.
And if people have more questions, they can contact Kate Hill at the Resna office. She's a new staff member that's heading this up. Do we want to see if anybody wants to do this?
Yeah. Does anybody want to be involved in either one of these activities and know that now? Or are we going to have to do some arm twisting? Mark, you would like to be, you would like to put your name forward for the chair or the content expert panel? What are you saying you would like to be involved in?
I'm not an IT yet.
Okay. The content expert. Okay, great.
So they're looking for content experts. That can be many people, and that it involves writing test questions. Eventually, they want that content expert kind of committee to be an ongoing process rather than a one-time look at the tests, rewrite the test. They want it to be an ongoing process, and I think Kate will help the organization to get that going. We also need to identify a vice chair. Maureen is going to be with us for one more year, and we'd like to have anyone that is interested that would like to work with us this year to learn more about being PSG involved, to give us a call, let us know if you would like to be involved, and we'll kind of lead you through it and before you jump right in.
Okay, so that will entail, we're going to try and reestablish some working committees that seem to have fallen by the wayside. So it'll entail coordinating the activities of the working committees, taking direction from the board and passing that on to the working committees and kind of being a general project coordinator. There are conference calls every other month that you would need to be involved in, and I think that might be it for that particular time commitment. Obviously, this meeting. Is anybody interested in standing up here next year in Washington, D.C.? And this isn't like voting on this now. We're just getting an idea of people who might be interested in doing this so we can kind of talk to you about it throughout the course of this year.
You can sure email us directly as well.
Yeah.
We
so let's be thinking about that. Yes. Okay, so as I mentioned, we do have some committees that we need to have staffed so we can get some things done. We need a committee on information communications and promoting the profession, and this is big now. We're trying to get a push for getting the RET out there and more people taking it and getting a critical mass developed, so we need marketing, and that's not something just one person can do. We're also doing training, education, and mentoring program. That's part of the Sidekicks program is part of that, trying to establish some conference content and that kind of thing. And then lastly, we're looking at defining competencies within given skills areas. So what are the rehab engineering competencies in the voc rehab area or in the seating area? So we'd like a team of people to do that. We have sign-up lists up here. If we don't get people signed up, we'll be hitting the listserv asking for people to sign up for this stuff. So please come on up here and give us your name. and we'll be happy to put you to work.
Okay. Do you think we can get leaders?
Yeah. Patty would request actually an identified leader.
I want leaders for those working groups.
I'll be happy to get members and then kind of pick a leader. And are you raising your hand, Todd? Or is Kevin raising your hand for you? Exactly. If you don't step back fast enough, you will be the person most farthest forward.
Which one did you want to do?
I would like to encourage Shandy to consider vice chair.
Okay. Is this something you're willing to consider? It's something.
Going to encourage all year.
Okay, we had some discussions on the listserv, and this is some conversations that we've had in past years about the credentialing process. And there was conversation about when you can take the ATP versus RAT, and sort of a summary of what the listserv discussions were. The general gist from the PSG on the listserv was we need to kind of leave it alone because the RAT should be sort of a step beyond the ATP. People were sort of supporting it in that way. But I put arguments both for and against. We need to kind of come to a decision on this and close this topic out. So if anyone would like to stand up and support one side or the other of this, and then we can kind of make a final decision here in this meeting, that would be a good thing. Unless you all think that the recommendation to leave it as it is a good idea, and that's it. We don't need more discussion. Does anybody... All in favor? Do we have to have a discussion before that? Okay, does anybody want to support the argument to leave it as it is? No, okay. Does anybody want to support the argument for changing it, the arguments that were discussed on the listserv or something else? Okay, so we're not going to have a discussion. Okay, so the motion passes as we're going to leave this process as it is. Do we have to officially vote since nobody wanted to discuss it? Okay. I am not good at, what is this officially called? Okay, rules of order. Not good at that. Okay, so we'll leave the process as it is, or we'll vote on this. All in favor of leaving the process as it is? Raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay, great. Thank you very much. Yay. Well, this will go better for the second thing we have to discuss here. And these are sunsetting the time eligibility requirements for taking the ATP, or taking the RAT, I apologize. The time eligibility requirements are currently set to expire on December 31st of this year. They were put in place to allow people who have been practicing as rehab engineers without an engineering degree to take the RAT credential. And they were originally extended from December 31st, 2005. That was the original cutoff date for that. And we extended that about 2 years ago. So we need to kind of talk about this again. On the listserv and some discussions among the PSG leadership and the board, some of the reasons to sunset this as scheduled was that no one took it in the extension period using the time-limited eligibility requirements. And another argument would be that having an engineering degree would lend credibility to this credential as a rehab engineering RAT. An argument for continuing to allow the time eligibility requirements that were made is that we need a critical mass of people with the RAT, and limiting your ability to take the RAT at this time isn't that wise. And the subsidiary to that argument was we're all supposed to be practicing within our scope, within our area of expertise, and it should be our ethics that keep us from doing something we're not competent to do. So we need to kind of have a discussion on this and make a motion to the PSB at the end of this meeting regarding what we're going to do with the time eligibility requirements. That's odd because ABED isn't engineering specific, I don't believe.
Yeah. There's no direction that you're specifically looking for, although I think it's going to be, it's going to come up again just given the small numbers. So they will start looking at long after long, or maybe short after long.
Well, as a PSB member, what's your personal, I mean, I know you're wearing two hats and you're kind of a little uncomfortable with that, but what would be your recommendation to the PSG as far as discussion of this?
Well, I put this on the listener.
You did.
Discussion as well, do you need an engineering degree to sit for the RET? And the thinking was, well, let's have a grandfathering. The original thinking on the RET was let's have a grandfather slot or for folks that don't have an engineering degree to be able to sit for the RET. And that ended in 05. We kicked it out to 07. My sense is that we should just allow folks without the engineering degree to sit for the RET, mainly because, my thinking is, this is all personal opinion, not PSB speak, that one, we're very small numbers. There's currently 44 RETs, which is, I don't know what that critical mass is, but I know that RET, that anything, it's not 44. It's high, it's at least 46, I'm sure. why, if we're such a small number, why do we limit this? And also this kind of argument, well, if you have an engineering degree, you have this certain cachet to do things, but any engineering degree is going to fit that bill at when there may be something that is completely unrelated to rehabilitation engineering. So, I mean, you can think of, okay, if I design nuclear power plants or something like that, and I have an engineering degree, I guess to me that doesn't hold a whole lot of credence. I mean, I have two engineering degrees, so I appreciate the way an engineer thinks, even though my wife doesn't appreciate it all the time. But anyway, I think that would overly limit us of losing some great people that can be RETs. You know, I think about industrial designers. If people come from all over the place that know this stuff and they can figure out the friction coefficient of an inclined plane block type, you know, the stuff that is very RET specific. So that's my spin on it. I like it. Yeah, Paul. Yeah.
Is there a sense of how many?
I've asked that question. Oh, I'm sorry. What's?
How many engineer of the 44? How many have 44, not 46? Have the RET, the RET requirements, and you know, versus those that have taken it and don't.
It's a small handful. I don't know what the.
It's approximately eight.
Eight.
So if you think about that, that's about a fifth.
Yeah, that don't have the engineering degree.
That don't have the engineering degree.
Yeah. There's a couple. But
the educational requirement if you don't have an engineering degree?
It's essentially the same as for the ATP, so it is a rehab background or a therapy background at that point. If you're eligible to take the ATP on the time-limited requirements, you're eligible to take the RET.
Which is kind of a step thing based on your degree, how many years of experience as a practitioner. Yeah,
do people have a sense of how many people are in this category, and are people making noises to any of you saying, oh, I can't take it this year, I need to take it next year?
Well, there was that in 05. I don't hear that now, but
there's not a whole lot of traffic on, you know, RET chat in general, so I wouldn't take that as, you know, strength one way or the other.
Right, and yeah. We have 44 RATs. There are 286 members of the PSG. So Bob's comment about, you know, we'll just keep making it a wider and wider window, and I have to ask the question, why haven't these folks taken it? If they're going to, why hasn't it been taken already? If you guys want to discuss that too. So you're saying essentially if you have been practicing by some year and you continued practicing, then you're eligible unless you have the degree.
Now, the one thing... One thing I would say about for the entry point for the newbie would have an engineering degree, but I think when the RET was written and discussed briefly for 20 years at this meeting, was that anticipation of the growth of the field of, okay, they're going to be pouring out of these universities with a rehab engineering degree. And I think there's been a contraction of those programs. I mean, these great programs that people in this room have gone to, they don't exist. So we still have people flying in from all walks of life doing this. I mean, there's not just, God knows, there's not a set career track for this that people are going into. So if people are a widget person and they're, you know, mechanical engineer, okay, that's cool to go, well, what about an industrial designer? Why are they cut out of that? So, Ray, here you were in the back, and then there's a couple more.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the people you're talking about, so I figure I should speak up. I've been thinking about taking the RET partly to demonstrate that you don't have to be an engineering graduate to pass the test and to validate. I've been busy. and also, there's a bit of a fence sitting to see is it going to be worth it or how many people are going to be on there. So I still would like to take it, but don't change the rules just for me.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
So when are you going to take it?
I keep saying, well, next year.
When are you going to take it?
Yeah. Well, I don't understand because the test is what, on Wednesday? And the conference is over by then, so you could have sat for the darn thing. All right, Scott, then Paul. And
is there any mechanism within the ATP or RET that allows for
Yeah, and that's called the appeal process, and we go through a lot of those on the Professional Standards Board. But I know what would happen if the language as directed by the PSG comes in to say, this is what we want. We want an engineering degree, and then somebody says, you know, spins the tail of yarn, and they'll say, well, sorry. I mean, unless there was some really compelling story, but they're going to be looking back to, well, geez, they gave us direction that they want an engineering degree, so who are we to say, well, okay, the guy is 12 credits short? Because then it's like, okay, I'm one credit short, all right, well, before I got my degree, then, well, what's that line? I mean, it's it gets hairy, you know. So, and Paul.
At least 44.
Yeah. Of eight, of with and or without, or okay,
and
L, but they'll be, as long as they'll be eligible to sit at some future time, or that's your.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's one here. Yeah, sure.
There was three
in the back. Or
let's do maybe three more people.
Yeah.
And then.
Okay.
Actually, I'd like to hear from somebody saying that if you have an argument,
yeah,
for saying we should sunset them, then.
Bill Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you answer?
this draft together of that this is basically the beginning of a marketing piece, so that, you know, if this would help people to market the RET, then we need to do that. So we've got a start on that marketing and promotion. So if people want to help us with this, we want your help. We want your input. This is a start. I put draft on here, but you know, come one, come all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, you know, I think we have to decide how we're going to define ourselves. And I've been out for the past year talking to educational groups, talking to the rural rehab groups, talking to the Centers for Independent Living, probably talking to over 100 people about what is rehabilitation engineering, because most people don't know. And I think just like other groups such as occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech language pathology have well-defined delineations as to how they define their profession, we need to take those steps and decide how we want to define our profession. Personally, I think it should be that you go to a accredited school, because then when I'm talking to these groups and saying, this is what I do, these are the credentials I have, these are the credentials as a group we have, it is much easier, much better to promote ourselves and to get reimbursed from that group. And it's been successful for me at a grassroots level, at a very local level. Of course, any one of us could study for the PT exam and take it and pass it, but they've got a well-defined set of criteria before you can do that, and I think that that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm relatively new to the flow of this, but I just had a question that I'm sure has been discussed. I'm an ATS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not eligible to take the RET exam.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have 20 years of experience as a tool time maker before I got into this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And where I work, I am always designing, building, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
without an engineer behind me. I would love to take the RET exam, but
mm-hmm.
I don't qualify. As that aspect, and understanding the importance of the schooling and things of this sort, but some people have backgrounds that may, you know, upon review, just say, okay, fine, I can make an exception here. So I don't know if that's ever been discussed.
Okay, and you're saying you don't qualify because?
Well, because of my the fact that I have been building things for 20 years before I even got in the industry, and then I'm continuing to apply all that experience to what
I'm doing. Why don't you qualify is what I'm asking you.
Yes. I'm not an ATP.
Oh, okay.
I have no degrees whatsoever.
Okay.
Just 30 years.
And so that's an ATP thing. So that we've...
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Glenn. Glenn.
A couple of comments on that. As that was designed, I chaired that task group years ago. The theory, the thinking is it's a practitioner credential, so it was built upon the ATP. And that was decided on the therapy. That was starting up. Aside from that issue, and I'll defer to Paul, we hit some confusion in the back about what the current academic requirement is. We thought it was actually to handle the many people that have high school degrees and associate degrees that are doing and have done good work in the field, that that be the educational requirement. And I thought that was only for 4 years, and that got extended for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So not like a non-engineering degree. We thought the criteria was actually high school or associate degree, and that for a given window of time, that person could still take the exam. The issue of industrial design or other degree, I think, is a separate issue, and I'm not sure it's the educational.
The high school, that was a grandfathering for the ATP. That was sunset a while ago.
We didn't print that out, but I know that there's been a sunset with the ATP, and the as we you just voted, you've got to have the ATP before you take the RET. So it's, that's more of an ATP limitation at this point.
Okay, go ahead. Into that discussion again. Well, I think some things have been summed up, and essentially the issue is, do we wish to, at this time, define who we are in a very strict way, or do we wish to leave the eligibility requirements open to establish critical mass of people? And that's kind of the debate I think we're fighting here. And, you know, part of me says, well, I don't actually have an answer, if you want to know the truth. I don't know if we should... try and put a motion of some sort together and work on it from there and kind of debate things out a little bit further. Does anybody want to try and put a motion forward?
So is the motion just to whether or not to sunset or leave this open for another year?
No.
Or another...
Or forever.
Event, or for,
right.
Or forever.
Yeah.
Or to come up with something like
that. Paul? Would they be open to leaving it open forever, or would we need a time limit to it? To leaving it open forever. Okay. Yes. Right.
I lobbied for it to kick it up to 07, and then, you know, there wasn't this stampede at the door for the RET.
Right.
So it's like, well, it kind of went out of gas, and well, okay, I'll do the thing, but somebody has to take it.
Right. Glenn?
If this group wants to extend it, part of the answer to that point being brought up would be residents haven't done the marketing, and the group is interested in doing the marketing, creating increased value, and then if the value is there, the numbers of
Okay. No, the issue was if you needed the sunsetting requirements, you should have kept your hands up.
Take it. So if you need the sunset, right. To take it. Right. Right. Is
one, right. Two. I'd like to make a motion that Ray take the test. All in favor? Yeah. There are people who are not here. Yeah. Okay. You're not required to be a member to take it. Okay, anyway, go ahead. Okay. And then Kevin.
We've had a lot of this discussion already. Yeah, Kevin.
The other point on the nonprofit process is that they did start with a bunch of guys who were skilled and not formally educated.
Yes,
and they,
and
those guys are grandfathered them. They are grandfathered them.
Yes, ma'am.
And that, my wife's from this, and they recently eliminated that. I mean, that opportunity. But to be able to do it, you had to have 45 years of experience and letters of recommendation from folks. But now they are. They have them. And they're well defined.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
So
and they're not licensed. Which is essentially to say you had to be practicing by this year and continue to practice. Kim? Yes.
I would move to extend the sunset to 2009.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Yeah, but you guys just told me I was required to say that. Okay.
that we sunset in 2009, but that we also set up a group to address this issue.
And that is what some of these working groups are, yes.
Did you want to leave one of those?
No.
Okay, so could you repeat the motion? Okay, I'm going to paraphrase Kevin's motion. It is that we extend the eligibility requirement until December 31st, 2009, with the caveat that we have to have a working group working on this in that time period to decide what we're going to do about this issue ultimately. Is that okay? And we didn't want to have a discussion again, so all in favor, raise your hands. Wait a minute. Pat, can you help me count?
We have to count to say. And how about opposed?
How about opposed?
Okay.
The motion carries. Jerry rolled his eyes. Does Jerry have a comment about that? Right, and what we're trying to do is reestablish some working groups that seem to have faded into the woodwork so that we can actually work on these issues and get discussions on the listservs. Kevin?
Those of you who have not taken the exam, Jerry Weissman has a packet of material that he foolishly and graciously will give you for free to help prepare this exam. If you go through this material, you will pass this exam. You have to, that's how I got through. I mean, it was a, my training. It was comforting to know that I knew what I needed to know to pass the exam. But Jerry's willing to get you that information. So if you have to get it, fill it out, it should take you, a Saturday. Go to the library, do it, and then sign up for the test and take the test.
We're at the end of our time frame. Peter has an announcement he wants to make about the standards meetings.
Hi, I'm Peter Axelson, and I'm chair of the Technical Standards Board for RESNA, and we have 7 committees that work on technical standards for wheelchairs, wheelchairs and seating, wheelchairs and transportation, now personal individual golf carts for golfers with disabilities, adaptive ski equipment, technologies for people with visual impairments, tactile warnings, accessible pedestrian signals. And we have all these committees that meet, some of them meet at RESNA, and we're very interested in trying to find people that have an interest in becoming more of an expert about one of these things that would be interested and willing to participate in our committee activities. The commitment is not necessarily always to be able to physically attend a meeting because we do everything electronically. We distribute international standards that come down and we all sit at home and read them and provide technical comments or general comments or clinical comments about why there need, you know, why you need to think about, you know, this issue or that issue. And you guys have experience out in the field with things failing and breaking and working and not working. And that experience, that practical experience, is very, very important in balance with all the manufacturers and whatnot that are concerned about the design and the performance, and they're in their labs, you know, at the companies doing the tests. So it's a very rewarding and interesting activity to participate in. Some of you have participated in those activities, and so I would just welcome anyone that wants to do that. There's a membership application. It's a $30 fee, and there's a waiver for that if that's a hardship for you. But be very interested. And if anybody's learning more about it, we're going to have more information on the RESNA website. And there's an address, standards at resna.org, but it's not, we don't know where the emails are going right now. So in the meantime, if you just send an email to Peter at Beneficial Designs with an S, or to Denise at Beneficial Designs, all run together with an S at the end, .com, we'll send you an application and get the information to you. And there's one more committee meeting at the end of the conference. The wheelchair-related seating standards meeting committee meets on Tuesday from 2 to 5, and also on Wednesday morning. And the wheelchair standards committee met before the conference. And so we'd love to get you more information about any of those committees, that just to see if you might be interested in it. But we would welcome your input and your participation, and I think that you would grow professionally. We're also looking into the possibility of CEU units for participating in that work. So thank you.
And Greg had an announcement?
I came in a little late. I just want to say something about the website development. We are not where we'd hope to be at this time, but we're pretty much done with the easy part. And the easy part is the design, what the thing looks like, and also reorganizing the home page so that we've got usable links. And by what I'm hoping is August, we'll have those links tied to things that will constitute our existing website and use our existing data. That said, the hard part is going to be ahead of us, and that is to and this will be done in an organized fashion that will roll out soon. But we're going to go to groups like PSGs. SIGs have already done a lot of their work. Committees, to ask them to define their needs and develop content. The site will, and this process will evolve over time, but the site will have content management structures such that individuals who lead committees, PSGs, SIGs, et cetera, will be able to go in, upload content, pictures, whatever, do their own thing within guidelines that we'll set out, RESNA guidelines that we'll set out. I say that to you folks to say that you need to start thinking, this group needs to start thinking about your needs and your wants related to the web presence with regard to RESNA. And related to the discussion we just had, one thought about trying to come to grips with the discussion we just had about sunsetting and defining ourselves. Glenn brought it up, and it's been brought up in other venues, that we haven't done a very good job, we collectively, in terms of marketing the skills and abilities and talents that rehab engineers have. And so, obviously, if the organization is going to do that, they're going to come to the Rehab Engineering PSG, which I'm a part of, to figure out what those skills and what that knowledge and what those talents are. In other words, to develop a marketing plan, we've got to start by necessity the process of defining ourselves. What are we going to put out there? And this web presence is going to be an avenue for us to start that marketing process. And I think that what may well happen is that, one, a couple of things, or a couple of possible things. If we go through the process of defining, I hesitate to use the word define, but if we go through the process of developing a marketing plan and putting our best foot forward and telling the public what we have to offer them in healthcare, in job accommodation, in the other areas that we practice, the one of two things I think can happen, and maybe both. One, the folks that we're marketing to may come back to us and define for us what criteria they want in a rehab engineer. They may say, okay, well, this sounds good. Well, you know, we want that person to have a degree, or they don't have to have a degree, but they have to have this amount of experience, yada, yada. Or in the process of defining what we're going to market to the outside world, we may decide, okay, well, if we're saying that these issues are important and these are sellable skills that we have, what's it take to come up with these? And that being what educational criteria, background criteria we need. Okay? That's it.
Okay. There is a PSG open house going on in Exhibit Hall at 6. And Patty, what's that? It's the SIG and PSG. It's both. And well, there's the wine and cheese going on in the exhibit hall. So there's wine, so you'll be there, right? Oh, no, you like beer. Anyway, Patty will be there at a table, so you should come by and visit her for a couple of reasons. One is I would like you to tell her why you haven't taken the RET if you have not. And then she can tell you good reasons for why you should. And we'll have a conversation that way. That will be visited on the listserv. That was something else we kind of wanted to discuss in this meeting, but we kind of ran over on time with some of the other discussions. So
the other thing I want from you is any feedback on this document that says draft on the top of it. So please, you know, mark it up. And the hope is that we can put this up on the website and people can use this to market your services. It's just one tiny step towards doing that.
And that will be at the table as well.
Any of you that want to sign up,
come forward and sign up for these things.
Define some of our competencies, which again, I think that's going to help with the website stuff. You know, all of this is going to blend in together. Looking at information, communication, and promotion, we've got a good start on that. Training, education, and mentoring, come on up and sign up for those, please.
How many newbies are the first time?
Thank you for coming. Thanks. Patty, I'm not.
We didn't take it while we were.
Yeah, right. And at the time, I regret doing that now, but I didn't. Hi, Stephen. Oh, no, that's okay. We needed that camera.